This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, have you ever wondered how to make silent movies accessible? I mean, you can have audio description, but does it then make it not really a silent movie? Something's currently being done to try and come up with a solution to this. Joining me is freelance audio describer Polly Goodwin. Polly, thank you for joining us.
No, thanks so much for having me.
Tell us about this project you are working on and how did it come about?
I am a massive silent film fan, and like you were saying, I think one of the things I love about them is that they are images and music combining together to create an experience that's really quite different from a talking film. I realised that I was really bothered by the presence of the voice in a silent film. So typical audio description has a voice reading out the descriptions, but for me that just felt too intrusive in what silent film is. I sort of sat on that for about 10 years waiting for someone cleverer than me to come up with a solution. But then during COVID, of all people, the director of New Zealand Opera, Brad Cohen, with his partner Hugh Glazer at their company Context Live, developed some technology to enable surtitles to be synchronously delivered to a person's refreshable braille device or their phone or tablet at their preferred font size. And there was an article in The Guardian. I thought that could be maybe a solution. So I got in touch with them and they've kindly agreed to let me loose on the technology to see if it could be the solution to providing non-audio description during a silent film.
So let's talk about this technology. So the way it has been adapted to work with a silent movie, how does all that work?
Well, it's pretty much exactly cut and paste from the way they use it in opera, except there's a lot more of it. So with opera surtitles, quite often with opera, singers just sing the same thing over and over again, particularly with an aria. But it's all about just getting the text to the person's preferred device. So with a silent film, what I'm describing, there's two things. Firstly, it's the images themselves, as you would with any audio description. And then there's also something called intertitles, which were used in silent film to either convey dialogue or move the story along a bit or give some kind of setting contextual information. So that's another thing that I'm putting in the descriptions. So the idea is that you're going to sit with the film along with everyone else in the audience. And whilst people with sight are watching the images and interpreting them and reading the intertitles, you are reading descriptions of the images and reading the text of the intertitles on your device synchronously. And that way you get the music component completely interrupted by the voice.
Would you say you have to be quite a quick braille reader or quite a proficient braille reader in order to make the most out of this, or does your braille reading ability level not really matter here?
I'm trying to find that sweet spot between enough information delivered frequently enough so that you feel like you're in the film and in the moment and getting enough engagement with it, but not so quick that you feel like it's a speed reading test. Because if we're thinking of a 90-minute film, which many silent films were 90 minutes and more, that's a long time to just sit there reading. So it has to be a really comfortable experience. And that's what I need help with to find out.
Now, you mentioned various devices. So what sort of devices will people be using to kind of consume that sort of media?
You can have a refreshable braille device, or you can use your phone or your tablet that's set up to the font that works best for you. The only other specification is you have to have access to the internet, because the way that the information is delivered is over Wi-Fi. Each person is given a what we call a receiver link or a QR code that they can scan that brings up on their device. I think the holding page is something like live subtitling will start soon. And then that refreshes automatically as the film goes on, either with the controller doing it manually, which I will do to start off with, or potentially automated, so it really is synced with the film, so it doesn't need anybody to sit there moving each description on.
What are your kind of future hopes off the back of this project?
Well, if goes well, we have a spot at the HipFest, which is a Scottish silent film festival up in Bowness, and that runs March every year. They've offered, if we can get the tech working, to let me loose on one of their silent films. So I'm really excited about that. The really good thing about HipFest is that they also have a remote component. So it means that you don't have to be in Scotland in the cinema to have a go. It will also be broadcast over the internet. So hopefully everyone anywhere can have a go and see if it works for them.
Is there testing that you're planning to carry out remotely to kind of check both mediums?
Absolutely, yes, please. If anyone is interested in having a go, as long as you've got a device with Wi-Fi and very strong opinions and you're happy to share them, I would love to hear from you. And they can contact me on my email address, which is polgwin, P-O-L-L-G-W-I-N @gmail.com.
Polly Goodwin, freelance audio describer, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio. Following my chat with Polly, I went along to the testing activity, took part, and also spoke to Ed Rogers and Johnny Marshall, who took part in the testing, and got Polly's reflections on the event as well. You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we were here looking at how to explore the medium of silent movies through Braille, and also using standard audio description methods. Joining me now is Ed Rogers. Ed, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really been very interesting being here and trying this.
Now, the interesting part is, tell us what device you were trying this with.
I was trying this with the Canute console. I am one of the members of the Brailleist community, and I'm also from Bristol Braille Technology that builds the Canute console. And what interested me in this project that Polly's invited us all here to today is that the reason why we built the Canute console and the reason why everyone in the Braillists built that up as a community is because we want to see Braille being used just for more things, more Braille. And this is a really exciting instance of combining one medium with Braille to find out what it can do. And we're all here to experiment and see how it can advance people's understanding or enjoyment of silent film.
Now, the Canute is a multi-line refreshable Braille display, is that correct?
Yes.
How have you found using it to consume audio description for the silent movies we have just watched?
Well, that means we were trying a couple of different experiments about the speed that you run through this and about different films. So there was a drama, which is Fulton Fisher's Boarding House, and then Cheer Up, which is a comedy. And what was really interesting is that at certain points I was reading this over nine lines, and I think you were reading this one line at a time on a Mantis. And at certain times, I would be very relaxed, and I would be. I'm a sighted reader, but I was reading the Braille version of it because I can kind of keep up a little bit with that. And at certain times, it's very relaxing, and the Braille was really adding to my understanding. And then I would realise I was a little bit behind, so I would skip ahead. And that's what we're looking experimenting with about different quantities of information. And the importance of understanding the scene as opposed to keeping up with the scene, and that will of course depend on your reading speed as well.
Yes, speaking of reading speed, I think we had Braillists at different speeds. I'm being quite a slow Braille reader, and some of us were faster. Do you think this sort of medium is more suited to fast Braille readers rather than people who may read Braille slowly or just simply not use Braille for pleasure?
I think it's open. That's really open yet. We don't know yet because this is the first time it's been tried. So in this instance, we can't tell. But I think I'm going to just take a punt and say it will depend on the film to an extent. And if you're watching something which has got a lot of car chases and quick slapstick, that might be harder to follow if you're a slow Braille reader than something where the scene has time to develop. And also there's the question of whether you're mixing Braille with audio description or not. I'd be very interested in see how this develops and what direction it could be taken. I'd just like to keep trying all the different options on whether it's on a Canute console or someone else, a single line or any other form.
And out of interest, we then watched the silent movie with actual audio description itself, standard audio description. How did you find that?
I enjoyed it, yeah. I mean, it actually does help because you, as a sighted person, sometimes the audio description is pointing out things that you hadn't yourself noticed. And in part, that's presumably because these were made for an audience that was very familiar with the particular cadence of a silent film from, you know, the early part of the 20th century, which we're less familiar with. So it's quite helpful to have someone point out, you know, the gags, whether that is in Braille or in audio description. And of course, what we were doing here is trying the two, which are equivalent of each other, and seeing how they compared and why you would use one or the other or both.
We are also joined by Johnny Marshall, research officer at the RNIB. Johnny, what was your experience like? Because what were you using to get the descriptions?
So in this instance, I was just using my phone and listening to the descriptions through text-to-speech. So it was being delivered through a synthetic voice, which I guess was a different experience and a different way of accessing it again. And I think for me, it wasn't really an issue of keeping up with the audio descriptions provided, because the text-to-speech can be set very fast. So in the time perhaps people were reading it in Braille, I could have listened to it 3 or 4 times. Which I think does work, and I mean, it's enjoyable up to an extent, but I probably would rather listen to it with an actual voice rather than a synthetic one.
So when we got the chance to listen to the actual standard audio description, did you prefer that to listening to it with synthetic speech?
Yeah, so much preferred listening to it with a real audio describer reading it out. It kind of fitted in with the sort of music, and the voice fitted in with that, and it was just a much more enjoyable and relaxing experience. And yeah. I guess kind of you don't kind of hear it refreshing in the background. It's just more natural and I guess a smooth experience.
Yeah, I think what we were saying is we found that it was quite interesting how audio description complemented the music. So when audio description was describing the scenes, the music was accurately reflecting that, and found it works quite nicely that both mediums work well side by side, which was quite interesting. I'm joined once again by Polly Goodwin. Polly, we've spoken to you before the testing and now we have done it. What are some of your thoughts based on what you've seen from various people that took part?
Oh, it was massively helpful and it's really switched my thinking from what is the right solution to how many different solutions can we provide for making silent films accessible. It was interesting what you were saying during the process around how audio description with music is itself something quite different as an experience, and that maybe helps temper my concerns about using regular audio description being just turning a silent film into a regular old talkie. So that was really helpful. But I thought it was just fascinating to see the different ways in which people were relating to the speed of the Braille and the amount of the Braille and the idea of being stressed when there were quite large chunks of Braille versus when you could see at a glance that it was going to be, you know, not too much to read in any one go. So it's really given me a lot to think about.
How do you think it will impact future developments in this particular project based on your findings today?
So I think there's a couple of things. One of them is pursuing this particular piece of technology. There were some really interesting ideas raised around choice and how can we enable people to decide how much AD they want. Do they want the kind of the light version of the script, or do they want all the details possible? And then what does that look like? Is it through this regularly refreshed piece of Braille, or is it in something that you can consume as you like, either before or during the content of the film? So some more experiments, definitely, and with different Braille speed readers. I think definitely for me, it's about how do I amplify the options rather than hone them down into one particular answer.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to hearing more about the project and how it develops. But for now, Polly Goodwin, freelance audio describer, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much.